Well, our gospel lesson this morning, if you want to follow on your pew Bible, is page 758. It's John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36, a rather short reading. And there Jesus says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The Gospel of our Lord. Well, dear Christian friends, this morning we heard a wonderful faith statement by Claire. She was one of those delights. Normally it takes 5 or 6 weeks to try to help the students craft their faith statement and to get them to focus. Claire shows up at our first meeting in the fall, 2 pages already typed, read, prepared, just like she read it today. I said, we don't even have to meet for the rest of the fall. You can just come right to confirmation. You are set to go. It was a delight, and you could see that very personal what it meant for her to believe in Jesus, that he is there for her as she goes through the struggles of being a teenage adolescent. Well, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus says, the truth shall set you free. And again, as Claire said, part of her truth was Jesus was always there with her. And she knew he was with her in prayer, was with her with his promises of everlasting life. You know, on her confirmation certificate, her confirmation verse is Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And of course, Jesus also says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So one of the truths we need is that Jesus promises to be with us. But that truth alone isn't enough, you know, because many people, especially in the time of Luther before the Reformation, thought Jesus was with them, but they thought he was there to condemn them. They lived with fear of Jesus being with them. In fact, a few years ago, there was a billboard put up in Texas. Don't make me come down there. God. And of course, how many times have we heard, you better don't make me tell your father, you know, don't make me, I'll pull this car over. How many times we've heard those fearful statements and they get attached to God. But the truth of the Reformation is we don't have to fear God's presence. That when Jesus comes to be present to us, his purpose is to come to be our Savior. To be the one who forgives us, the one who came to offer his life for us. And Paul reminds us in Romans 8:31, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so the central truth of the Reformation is you don't need to fear that God has come to forgive. And yet before we can ever appreciate the Reformation message, we also need to know another truth. And that truth is we are all sinners. We are all sinners who fall short of God's glory. That we need the forgiveness that God offers to us. You know, the very first words of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark are, repent. Repent and believe the good news. We're made to live in a loving relationship with God and one another, and we fall short of that. Whether we lust, or we hate, or we're apathetic to the needs of others, or whether we take advantage of others, say hurtful things, are unfaithful, are greedy, or the list goes on, the truth that we need to be set free from, the truth is we are sinners. And that's why we need Jesus to set us free from that sin and from shame and from guilt. You know, this past week I was at a conference out in the desert, and one of the two speakers talked about shame. And most people live with a sense of shame. And shame is not just the acknowledgement that you've done something wrong. Shame is the lie that your sin makes you unlovable. There's a difference between saying and acknowledging, I make mistakes, but shame says, I'm an unlovable person because that's who I am. I'm just a no good person. My sin makes me unlovable. And many times people feel unacceptable, unlovable because of something they have done in the past, and it sticks with them. But the truth sets you free. The truth says Jesus didn't come to shame us, but to forgive us and to love us. Yes, we all fall short. Yes, we all have done things for which we are ashamed in the past. But God says, don't hold on to that. Don't claim that as your identity. Jesus says, claim me. Claim my forgiveness. That's the truth of the gospel. Repent, but believe the good news. Believe the good news. God came to love you and forgive you. That's the truth that will set you free. It's not that we don't acknowledge our shortcomings, but we say our shortcomings don't define us. It is God's love and grace that defines who we are. We are children of God. Just like in that baptism, that child, Sarah doesn't do anything to earn baptism, but God says, I claim you as my child, and you are my child now until the day you die and for eternity. And so that's what we need to claim. Each one of us at the baptismal font have been washed clean by Christ, given the Holy Spirit, and made children of God. That's who we are. Claim that good news, because that's the truth that sets us free from shame and guilt, so that we might live as God wants us to live, in a loving relationship both with Him and one another. And so it is, that's what sets us free. You're saved by grace, not because you are good enough. You are loved by God, and nothing can separate you from God. And all you have to do is look at the life of Jesus to say that's how he lived his life out. He didn't just say it, but that's how he interacted with people. Tax collectors. People hated the tax collectors. Why? Because they cheated. They robbed poor people of money. And yet Jesus said, come and follow me. Leave that life behind. The woman caught in adultery, they were going to kill her and stone her to death. And Jesus says, I don't come to condemn you. You are forgiven. The thief on the cross, who he himself says, I deserve the punishment I'm getting. And Jesus forgives him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, if that's how Jesus reacted to tax collectors, a woman caught in adultery, a thief who deserved punishment, we need to believe that he interacts with us in the same way, that he interacts with us with forgiveness. So yes, repent, but the truth sets us free from shame. The truth sets us free from kind of repeating that shame in our minds and says, no, I am a child of God and I claim that because that's what God says to me. Believe the good news, the opening words of Jesus. And then our mission is to go and share the good news. You know, last week at our bishop's gathering of our congregation, each church was asked, share a ministry that your church is doing that you feel good about, and share a need of your congregation. And what did every congregation say they needed? We need more members. Our need is more members. We do not need more members. That is not our mission. We need members to share the good news. Because we're not here just to manipulate people to make them to join us so that they'll help pay our bills, they'll help make us bigger. We are here to share with them We have a gift for them that God has forgiven them, and to share the good news about the gospel. That's what the church needs, is more of us to go out and share the good news. And you know, if you honestly share good news with people, eventually you will get new members. But the goal is not membership, the goal is sharing good news with other people so that they will know God as they haven't known Him in the past. Now, last week was our Commitment Sunday, and as we said, it was a great Sunday. We're really good with money, especially in this congregation. 70% of the members increased their giving, over a 7% increase from last year's amounts. What a tremendous response. A generous congregation responding to a generous God. But I think as Lutherans, our challenge is to step up to the mic, is to take the good news and to share it with others. Today, we saw Claire do that. She put her statement of faith together and she stepped up to the mic. She shared with you, and let me tell you, that's not easy for a teenager to do, to stand before a congregation and share, you know, I need God in my life. I get tense. She's a type A achiever. And sometimes type A achievers need to be reminded, slow down and remember God is with you whether you always achieve or don't. He is still your God who loves you as you are, and she has found that, and that's made a difference for her in her life. And I would challenge each person here today to think about what is your good news to share. So when you go to the dinner table today, or you go to the waterfront cafe, or you go someplace place for a cup of coffee, can you share how Jesus is good news in your life? See, because before we're ever going to share it with anybody else, we need to share it with friends. We need to be able to articulate, is Jesus good news? And the truth of it is, that is the truth that sets us free. He is good news. Can we articulate that with friends so that we might then articulate it with unchurched people as well? Because the other truth of the matter is, the world doesn't see the church as we see it. One of the other things the bishop shared at our gathering was that 1/3 of millennials, that's our younger people, 1/3 believe the church does more harm than good. That's scary. It's not that they just don't believe in what we say about God, but they say the church does more harm than good. 1/3 of millennials believe that. How do you get them to know God? We've got to share the good news. We've got to share, no, He's done good things for me. See, you can argue theology. You can argue what the church is doing, but when individuals say, but God has done something for me, you can't argue with that. And that's what we need to do, is share with people out there, God has done something for me. In fact, Bishop Taylor shared a story of a member in his congregation who was close to death. And she said, you know, I have a story that I've never told anyone before. And she said, when her husband died and they had the funeral service and she went back home with her family and friends, she went into the den, just started crying. And a few moments later, she felt a hand just on her shoulder, just being present there with her. And it was a great comfort to her. And finally, a minute or two later, she said she went to grab the hand behind her and there was no one there. And she said, do you think that was God? And Bishop Taylor said, of course it was. And then she said, would you tell that story to others? Because I never shared it with anybody. Well, the truth is, it's not Bishop Taylor's or the pastor's job to tell your story. That's your job. What is your story? Has God been good news to you? Have you encountered His good news of forgiveness? Have you, in prayer like Claire, found that He was there for you during a tense time? At a time of grief or death, have the words of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life, given you a hope that you would not have had otherwise? The truth is, there are a lot of stories out there to share. Stories of God's presence, stories of miraculous healings, stories of God changing our lives in ways that had to be God. See, we know God does more good than harm, but the world doesn't know that. And so our job is not just to step up to the plate to financially support the church, it's to step up to the mic, to say, if I've got a story, share it in whatever way it was. That's what Martin Luther did. That's why we had the Reformation. He had that mountaintop experience when he discovered, no, I'm saved by grace, not by works. And that truth changed his life. All the time he felt inadequate, not good enough, and finally said, no, I'm not good enough, but God is good enough. And God is gracious enough, and that's all I need. And it freed him. And he went out and told the story, and the Reformation took place. And today, Claire shared her story. And I'm asking you, put together your own story. Share it first in your home or with friends around the table, because we need to step up to the mic. You have a short story, and the world needs to hear good news. Amen. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord God, thank you for the many stories, the many ways you have touched our lives with your grace and forgiveness. And free us again and again. So often we cling to our sin and shame. We cling to our pride, and help us remember we are saved by your grace, your wonderful grace. And you come into our lives with so many good gifts. Thank you that you give us a story to share. Now help us go out and share it. In Jesus' name, amen.